About 1852, 19-year-old Stephen Haskell of Massachusetts heard a sermon by a first-day Adventist telling of the soon coming of the Lord. The sermon made a deep impression on the young man, and he couldn't wait to tell his friends.
Glad to see you, Stephen. Hey, how'd you like the toll road?
It was fine, Elmer, but a 2 cents toll for each gate. I don't think I'll ride that way very often.
It is expensive. But tell me, what have you been doing?
Elmer, I've heard the most inspiring sermon. The preacher said the Lord will come soon to take the righteous to heaven.
Do you believe it?
Yes. The Bible prophecies are being fulfilled.
Stephen, why don't you preach? You should hire a hall and preach.
Well, I will. If you'll hire the hall, I'll preach.
To Stephen's surprise, his friend did hire a hall. The reluctant preacher gave an impassioned sermon to a full house. Soon, he was leading an earnest Christian company and felt the call to preach. He talked it over with his wife, who was about 20 years older than he.
I think I want to preach, Mary. I keep hearing the words, "You ought to preach," in my mind over and over.
You must do what the Lord bids you, Stephen.
That's just it. Is this the Lord speaking, or just the urgings of my friends? And I have to make a living for you and me.
Well, you travel a lot selling the soap you make. Why not preach in your spare time as you go about on your sales trips?
That's just the thing. Oh, Mary, thank you.
In 1853, while on a preaching tour that took him into Canada, Stephen stopped over in Springfield, Massachusetts. William Saxby, a tinsmith for the railroad, offered to store his trunk.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You were having a conversation when I interrupted. Please go on.
Well, I was just telling these young friends that the fourth commandment must be obeyed or else you're out of step with our Lord.
Absolutely. I go to church every Sunday and keep the day holy.
But the Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath. That's the day our Lord kept, right?
If you want to keep that old Jewish Sabbath, you can do so. But I never shall.
Stephen declined an invitation to a meeting of Sabbath keepers that evening, saying he was not feeling well. Brother Saxby immediately said he didn't feel well either, and he took Stephen home with him, hung up a chart of the three angels' messages, and did his best to convince the young preacher. Stephen decided he had better study the question thoroughly as he traveled.
Thank you, Brother Saxby, for your hospitality these past few days. And thank you for not pressing me on the Sabbath question till I've had a chance to study it for myself.
Oh, you're welcome here any time, Brother Haskell. Here are some tracts that may help you in your study.
Elihu on the Sabbath by Benjamin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll read this one on the steamer on the way to Canada.
Good.
Stephen soon decided he would keep the seventh-day Sabbath unless he got further light. Mary was also convinced. In the winter of 1854 and 1855, Brother Saxby asked Joseph Bates to visit the Haskells, who were staying in Hubbardston, Massachusetts.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm Joseph Bates. I'm an Adventist preacher, and I observe the seventh day. William Saxby has requested that I spend a little time with you, instructing you more fully in Bible truth.
Well, come in, Elder Bates. It's freezing out there.
Joseph Bates spent 10 days in Hubbardston, studying all day with the Haskells and preaching to a group of Sabbath keepers in the evenings. At the end of the visit, the Haskells subscribed to all the publications of the Review and Herald office. In 1864, Stephen and Mary Haskell moved to South Lancaster, Massachusetts, and joined the company of Seventh-day Adventists there. About 10 women, including Mary, met every Wednesday to pray and plan for working with their children and with backsliders. In 1869, Stephen encouraged them to organize.
Sisters, this is the second meeting of the Vigilant Missionary Society. Sister Mary Priest, our secretary, will read the minutes of our last gathering.
At our last meeting, we elected officers. They are Sister Roxy Rice, president, Sister Mary Haskell, vice president, Sister Rhoda Wheeler, treasurer, and, me, Sister Mary Priest, secretary. It was decided that our main function is to minister to the spiritual needs of our brethren and to spread God's message.
If I may interject, my husband has suggested we could render another service. He said he'd meet with us to discuss some ideas on extending our ministry with the use of printed material. Oh, here he is now.
Brother Haskell, we'd like to hear your ideas.
Thank you. Sisters, you're doing great work. I think you have the potential to spread God's light all over the nation.
How do you mean, Elder Haskell?
By mailing Adventist tracts and papers to hundreds of people all over the country. You can write to friends and ask for names and addresses of interested or discouraged people. Then send them the tracts and pamphlets.
And we can send letters with the literature to bolster the spiritually weak.
I think it's an excellent idea, Elder Haskell. Sisters?
Yes.
I can't wait to get started.
I have some addresses at home.
The Vigilant Missionary Society became the nucleus of the New England Tract and Missionary Society. When Maria Huntley joined in 1870, she learned French, and Mary Martin studied German to reach people who spoke those languages. While on tour in New England in 1871, James and I sensed the huge potential of the new organization and came to see for ourselves.
I'd like to see the Tract and Missionary Society developed on a wider scale, Brother Haskell. I believe it could do much to further our cause.
I agree. And I intend to suggest to the General Conference that we adopt the idea for the whole church.
Now, that would certainly help spread the truth to a lot of people preachers don't reach.
If the General Conference approves, would you be willing to travel from conference to conference, setting up tract and missionary societies? The job might keep you on the road for many months at a time.
I'll go where the Lord sends me, Elder White.
The General Tract and Missionary Society was organized in 1874 with Stephen Haskell as business agent and promoter. He later succeeded James as president of the society and expanded the work. In 1882, the name was changed to the International Tract Society. There were other developments in the literature work. Early in the winter of 1880, James approached Brother Richard and Sister Huldah Godsmark after church one Sabbath.
Brother Godsmark, I've got a man up at our house that I just don't know what to do with. He's been hanging around for the last 2 weeks wanting to preach.
I take it you think he's not a good prospect?
Well, he says he knows that the Lord has called him to the work, and maybe he has. But he doesn't look much like a preacher to me. I don't believe we can ever make a preacher out of him.
What do you want us to do, Brother White?
I wish you people would take him out on the farm and see if there's any preach in him. His name is King, George King.
Brother King, you may call me Uncle Richard, like everyone else does, and this here's Aunt Huldah.
You may have the room across the hall from our son, Othniel. Perhaps I can help you arrange your sermons and teach you how a minister should present his subjects. Hmm?
Thank you very much, Uncle Richard and Aunt Huldah. I'll work hard for my keep, I promise.
For several months, George King studied and practiced by preaching to empty chairs in the parlor. Often, Othniel woke in the early hours to hear him praying earnestly in his room. In the spring, Brother Godsmark arranged for George to preach a trial sermon in his home, with another Sabbath-keeping family in attendance.
Well, I aimed to talk to you this afternoon about about the truths of the third angel's message. This here is a very important subject. Excuse me. Oh, I was terrible. I can't preach nohow, and I was so sure.
Well, it's obvious you're not called to preach in the usual way. But you, well, you could be a fireside preacher, go into people's homes and preach to them. You can give away tracts and talk to people wherever they are.
That's a capital idea, my dear. Brother King, if you do as Aunt Hulda suggests, I'll buy your tracts. You'll always have a home with us, and we'll make you an allowance.
I guess this is God's will for me. I'll do it.
With $2 in his pocket for expenses, George set out Monday morning with a supply of tracts. The Godsmark family were concerned when he didn't show up Friday evening as arranged. But Sabbath morning, when they went to church in Battle Creek...
Ma, Pa, there he is! Brother King!
Uncle Richard! Aunt Hulda! It was a success. I gave away lots of tracts, and listen to this. I sold 62 cents worth.
The work of the literature evangelist is more than a commercial enterprise. Its true aim is to spread the gospel, and it is this goal which has made the program so successful. And it all started with a man who was certain God had called him to labor for souls.